Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of It's Zeitney, Bitch. That is courtesy of, I think, just DJ Daniel.
Yeah. It's got Britney on the brain.
Got Britney on the brain. Mm-hmm. Britney. Yeah, I'm Jack. That's Miles. Yeah. Here's what's trending.
Yeah.
We'll talk some Britney on tomorrow's episode. As of right now, Joss Whedon is trending. Charisma Carpenter, one of the actresses who has worked with him for years, came out in support of Ray Fisher, who's an actor who said that Joss Whedon created a pretty toxic environment on the set of Justice League. She was just kind of seconding that, backing that, saying, so some of the quotes: Joss has a history of being casually cruel. He has created hostile and toxic work environments since his early career. She cited ongoing passive aggressive threats to fire me, callously calling me fat to colleagues when I was 4 months pregnant, called me in for a sit down meeting to interrogate and berate me regarding a rosary tattoo I got. When he found out she was pregnant, he brought her into a closed door meeting and asked her if she was going to keep it. And at 6 months pregnant, her doctor asked her to, you know, shorten her work hours. And instead he asked her to come in and work at 1 a.m. So like sort of resentful that she would have the audacity to
get pregnant. A lot of the, you know, Buffy co-stars are coming out with, you know, not definitely not protecting Joss Whedon. Sarah Michelle Gellar essentially, she said, quote, "Well, I'm proud to have my name associated with Buffy Summers. I don't want to be forever associated with the name Joss Whedon. I'm more focused on raising my family and surviving a pandemic currently, so I will not be making any further statements at this time, but I stand with all survivors of abuse and I'm proud of them for speaking out." And then Michelle Trachtenberg, who's also on Buffy, says, "Thank you, Sarah Michelle Gellar, for saying this. I am brave enough now as a 35-year-old woman to repost this because this must be known as a teenager with his not appropriate behavior."
Damn.
So, yeah, that's It seems like not a controversial statement to actually be calling out this kind of toxic behavior and shit on that set. So yeah.
All right. Well, Chris Harrison is also trending. Another toxic
sick
white
bro.
Dude.
Sick bro who's giving That's us the sick ass fucking tent, dude. Sick tent content. The Bachelor, Bachelorette.
Host of The Bachelor, host of The Bachelorette, and just and- a
just
out of touch.
Another example
closet
of
racist.
Yeah, closet, or the guy who doesn't know how to say the bad words out loud, so he just does in this like really complicated way of defending racism,
right?
But so, you know, this whole thing of one of the contestants on The Bachelor now, Rachel Kirkconnell, who she, you know, she went to an antebellum plantation themed frat party in college back in 2018, and Chris Harrison spoke with Rachel Lindsay, who is the first Black Bachelorette, to talk about this. Like, that's a bad look, huh, for her. And dude, Chris Harrison, I don't know why they let this air, because he said pretty much the exact opposite of what you want to say when you're being asked for your take on someone's unacceptable, like, participation in an offensive party, one with severe racist undertones.
Yeah, and also like part of a ongoing pattern where like her family has like parties where they all dress up as Native Americans and just like generally right, yeah okay. Yeah, just like she has a pattern of being
racist.
So
we'll just play this one because we were trying, like, super producer Anthony was like, yo, you gotta listen to the clip, and we were screaming within the first 3 seconds because this man could not, he didn't understand the severity of what's happening and what he actually needs to be saying as like the face of the show. And I'll just play this part. It gets to a point where they start debating what it means to go to an antebellum plantation party in the year of our God, 2018. And you know, that was so long.
From 2018 at an Old South antebellum party. So I think, you know, It's
when
not,
you hold that under the lens,
it's not a good look.
No, it's not a good. Well, Rachel, is it a good look in 2018 or is it not a good look in 2021?
It's
because
not
there's
a good
big difference.
Look ever, because she's celebrating the Old South. If I went to that party, what would I represent at that party?
I don't disagree with you. You're 100% right in 2021. That was not the case in 2018. Again, I'm not defending Rachel. I just know that.
I'm not defending Rachel. I'm just defending racism. You know what I mean? Look, was that a hot take in 2018? Motherfucker, Charlottesville was in 2017. So you were still looking at that shit? You didn't, what were you?
She
let's get his take
know
on that.
No, it was 2018. It was different
time. Come on. Black lives didn't matter till this summer, Rachel. And now you're asking to retroactively know what was good. And I mean, sure, fire up your DeLorean, Doc Brown, and let's go save her from this post, but I don't
I'm sorry,
think we
do you
can.
Do you have access to time travel? Because otherwise, I don't know how you are going to say what was right and wrong in 2018.
Thank you. I don't understand these. I mean, I do.
Just
no understanding, no idea of how white supremacy is still so pervasive and the most aggressive forms of it are still celebrated today.
And the just confidence and like, I'm just being reasonable here. Is it Rachel?
Remember he started off. He's like, I don't like this whole, you know, he went on the cancel culture journey to begin. I don't like this whole judge, jury, execution thing. Like, oh, you do a lot of racist stuff in photos. And like, now you're like labeled or like bad. It's just like, when does it stop? You know, last I checked, there were no slaves anymore. So. I'm like, that's like the momentum of that, like that defense or like that line of defense goes. So funny, but also not surprising. Like,
replace
Matt is such a
that dude.
Fucking wacky bachelor.
This yeah. So what is going on with The Bachelor? You're watching it, right?
I haven't watched since last week when they were trying to shame this woman for the possibility of being a sex worker. And I was like, this is so fucking toxic, but that's why I watch the trash. But for him, he's just mad corny. I mean, when I was on Will You Accept This Rose, the Bachelorette podcast that Anna does with Arden, like, it was just funny to me that the the first black man that they have as the bachelor is also technically a white Christian conservative man because he's biracial. And all the elements that they're like highlighting are the things that would appeal to like close-minded conservative like white audiences of like, he's, you know, he's, he goes to church, he prays, he's a Republican.
Jesus. Yeah, he's a Republican. Wow.
But yeah, that's what you got. But I've like, when you look at that audience, that's like the one thing you have to do of like to be able to get the Bachelor Nation to like stomach it, which I think it's more of a reflection of the network and many other things, society at large, if you will.
But ABC, yeah, we were just talking about Diane Sawyer, primetime interview with Britney Spears. ABC is cool. Shout out to them. All right. Let's talk about the Aunt Jemima pancake brand has been rebranded after a prolonged process where we were like, wait, what's happening? How is this taking you so long? Well, it was because, Miles, they were coming up with the perfect name.
Right. In a process that it wasn't just, okay, Aunt Jemima bad. Any other name will do because it just can't be this. But as they say, throughout the effort that led to this new name, Quaker worked with consumers, employees, external cultural and subject matter experts, and diverse agency partners to gather broad perspectives and ensure that the new brand was developed with inclusivity in mind. Presenting the new Pearl Milling Company pancake mix.
Pearl Milling Company? Milling Company.
Oh, that just rolls off the tongue. And I love that a pancake mix that evokes the texture of ground up rocks in my mouth.
What? That is the... Yeah. I mean, it's bad. It's better it's than like, what was there, but that is wild. Like, that just... It's almost like they're...
It's too much.
Doing the thing where like a 5-year-old would, where, oh, what do you want me to call it then? Pearl Milling Company? Like something shitty?
Oh, because like, if it's an aunt or something, then it's racist, or if it's a made up slave caricature that we have on, oh, fine. How about pancake mix? Is that good enough for you? But yeah, it's I guess named after like the original like company that the Aunt Jemima brand became. So
it looks like shit. The name is shit. And yeah.
And just make your own. Make your own. You got a little vanilla extract. Fucking go off.
You got
it. Put a little yogurt in there. You ever do that shit? Uh-oh.
Let's talk about a little good news, Miles.
Yeah.
High C Orange is trending because High C Orange is back at McDonald's, baby.
I have never... I'm not saying I'm like really excited because I'm not, but I would be lying if I didn't get slightly excited when I've read those words, because I used to not be able to drink soda. Like my mom would not let me have soda. I got the treat of McDonald's, let alone the immigrant at home version I was subjected to, which was had too much soy sauce, mom. I mean, I love you and I love the Japanese hamburger style, but it's not McDonald's. And so High C Orange has a very, it's a close part of like who I am. So to see that available again, because I can't be drinking gigantic sodas. Like if, you know, you're driving somewhere, you need to grab food real quick. So I like it. I like my high fructose corn syrup non-carbonated.
Yeah. No, it's it is one of the more sugary beverages in existence.
Yeah.
It's just, I like that it's so sugary that it's almost a little spicy. There's like a little tingle in the back of your throat. That's... And sometimes they'll give you like a dose with like extra syrup a little bit. And that's, I probably shouldn't think of my beverages as doses, but they used to do that with Coke. You could get a Coca-Cola Classic with like double syrup. And that was back when cocaine was in it, but people really got into that.
Right.
Back in my day when I was in high school in the late 1800s. Let's talk about Mark Cuban. We need billionaires to be our thought leaders, but this billionaire had a good idea.
I mean, he's a pretty good idea. He had, apparently, so It wasn't until a few days ago people noticed that at the Mavericks games from the preseason to the regular season, that national anthem wasn't played at the beginning of the game. Huh. And
but how did they play basketball if they weren't inspired to honor the great nation?
By the great slave anthem with the so many verses taken out because they're so fucking disgusting that we're trying to pretend that's also not in our national anthem.
How can you play basketball?
I don't know. They did somehow despite not giving the breath offering to the Yankee God of Uncle Sam, they were able to do it. But yeah, he was just sort of saying like, look, I get it. People are passionate about the anthem. He's like, but I'm also wanting to hear the people who hear the anthem and feel like it's not really representing what the country they want to be in or a country that is treating them with dignity or respect. So right. I would like to do that because even if we don't play it, maybe that will give some people the space to consider why someone might not want to hear it versus having people kneel or whatever. So caused a huge controversy, obviously. And then like what started off was basically saying the NBA didn't have regulations. Like game day operations was up to the club because you know better than to cross America, buddy. and then now they had to like make it a full on regulation to be like, no, it's built in now. Like you're not getting away with it.
Cool. Very cool, NBA. Very cool. I feel like Silver is having a bad run, couple years there.
Every fucking sports league is right now. And like, I can't believe the greed on display. Like, that even baffles the players themselves. You know, like, LeBron's
really?
Like,
you're gonna why are we having an all-star game? Like, it's that important to you?
And even for like me supporting Arsenal on the other side, like, with all the, like, play internationally between like we're playing a team from Portugal in like this international league, but like we're trying to scam like some person on 90 Day Fiance on like countries that we can both play in that don't require quarantine so we can go back to our respective countries to continue our leagues. And it's just so our home ground isn't even England. We're going to Greece to be as like a fill in for our home ground. So it's just like everyone's just like, bro, this is so stupid. Like now it's like, and people are getting, it's like there's more risk involved. Yeah. So anyway, Mark Cuban, he's back on the anthem though. And he's, he'll abide, I guess.
It's always interesting when the anthem stuff happens. We were talking, in a upcoming special episode of Zeitgeist, about Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf's anthem protest and how nobody noticed that for like dozen games.
Right.
And in this case, nobody even noticed the anthem wasn't being played at all for the first half of the season.
Goes to show you. Do we need it?
It's weird. Yeah, very much so.
It's so weird. I remember, that's like the dumbest part about going to sports thing. And I would, sometimes if I'm pissed, I wouldn't get up, not taking my hat off. I'm like, man, fuck this. Like, this is just, I'm like, people are like, you should stand. I'm like, did you pay to see me stand up for the national anthem? Or did you pay too much money to watch Kwame Brown throw our money away?
All right. Fuck, man. Shout out to Kwame Brown. All right. That is going to do it for this afternoon. We are back tomorrow with a whole ass episode of the show. Until then, stay inside, wash your hands, don't do nothing about white supremacy. We'll talk to y'all then. Bye. Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.